kind of share a Christmas message, but at the same time, kind of bring it together with what we've been talking about over the last few weeks, and that's the glory of God. And, you know, Christmas is here again, and I say that like I'm sorry to see it come. I'm not. I love Christmas, and I just, it really concerns me at times when I look around the nation and I see so many things going on that have absolutely nothing to do with the birth of Jesus. We have people out here spending so much money that they don't have, and then come about the first time the bills start rolling in January, well, they are devastated, you know. And it's a fun time in one way, but in another, it becomes very discouraging. I don't know if y'all have noticed that all of the depression that comes right after Christmas, and primarily it's just because people have just outdone themselves, and now they got to pay the piper. All right. So, but I want to always look forward to Christmas as a fun time in the Lord, because it is. It's all about Him. It's not about our meals. It's not about our Christmas trees. It's not about our decorations like this. And it's not about all the presents, even though the kids do love the presents, you know. And we are givers. God's a giver. He gave His only Son. So it's okay to participate, but keep your focus straight, all right? Now, Jesus, according to Scripture, is the Lamb of God. And He's the King of kings. He's the Lord of lords. He's the King of the Jews. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. That's great. That's glorious. But let's look at Revelation chapter 5, because the angels declare some great things about Jesus. Revelation chapter 5. If you've got your Scripture page there, you might try to keep a Scripture ahead of me, and that way you'll be there when we get there. Do y'all want to turn the air conditioners on? Y'all hot? I've got this one on. This one probably needs to come on. Okay. Anyway, Revelation chapter 5, verse 12. The angels declared in a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." Does it sound like to you they're declaring the greatness of Jesus, that they're declaring His glory in the midst of the heavenlies? Well, they are. And at His birth, there was an army of angels that came forth, and they filled the skies around Bethlehem. They filled the heavens. And they came with great praise and great worship in their mouths, and as they began to declare the goodness of Jesus. And they began to say, "Praise God and glory to God in the highest. For this day of the city of David, a Savior is born, which is Christ the Lord." Amen? Now, isn't it strange, though? Bless you. Isn't it strange that the angels celebrated the birth with such power and glory and honor and praise? Any of y'all ever seen that happen? I haven't. Wouldn't it be marvelous to just go outside one night and the heavens just be filled with angels declaring the glory of the Lord? Well, that'd be great. But you know what? That's not what God's plan and purpose is. His plan and purpose is for us to be declaring the greatness and the goodness and the glory of God. Amen? And we try to do that when we do our music. Oh, we could sit here with no music and you know, just recite, but isn't it more fun with the music? Don't you get more excited with the movement and the beats of the music? Amen. But isn't it strange that even right now, as the Lamb of God is seated at the right hand of God the Father, that the elders and the angels are singing? Even while we're here today, the elders and the angels are singing. And they're singing, "Worthy are You, our Lord and our God, to receive the glory and the honor and the dominion, for You created all things by Your will, were they created. That was out of Revelation chapter 4, verse 11. So you see, there's something going on in heaven all the time pertaining to the praising and the worshiping of God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son. But isn't it strange that the kind of praise and honor that has continued since his birth will continue to him forever and ever? Praise and worship when you get to heaven is not going to stop. In fact, really, true praise and worship, I mean, just all of the time, is going to begin in your life. But what a privilege and an honor we have to learn how to praise and worship God here on this earth before we get to heaven. And that's why God has put such an emphasis on praise and worship. And that's why God's presence comes when we do begin to praise and worship him. It touches the heart of God to hear his people praise him. And so, you know, that's a fresh commitment that I think that we all need to make into this new year of 2013, that we are going to purpose in our hearts to praise and worship the Lord. Amen? Now, even at the birth of Jesus, there were wise men, the scripture tells us, that came. And they came a great distance to see this wonderful thing that had happened in Bethlehem. And they followed a star that had risen in the east. And as they followed it, it finally came to rest over this place where the Savior laid in a manger. And in Matthew chapter 2, let's look at that. Matthew chapter 2, beginning in verse 10. And when they saw the star, they rejoicing with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. And I like what they say next. And they fell down. That doesn't mean they tripped over something. Okay? They saw the majesty and the glory of Jesus laying in that manger. And they were overwhelmed by his presence. Overwhelmed. I want to see us come to a place in River of Life Church where in praise and worship we are overwhelmed by the presence of God. Do you think God could do that? I do. I believe that. And I believe he's going to do it. Let's go on. It says, they fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. Now these men were looking for someone that no one else recognized except for Joseph and Mary. And I think that we're in a season right now where we are looking for someone. And people all around this world are looking for someone. And they don't really know who it is that they want. But they're looking. There's a desire in their heart to be seeking after this one that holds this place in their heart. And reason I included we in this is because we have so many so-called Christians that have just totally strayed away from God. And if they truly know this God, they wouldn't stray away. They would be right there with him. And so there's a huge amount of people in this world today that have a tremendous need in their heart. And we as the church can go to them and tell them what's missing. And we can introduce them to the one. Remember, he's no longer a baby laying in a manger. You go to the book of Revelation, the writer John describes what Jesus looks like when he saw him. He's awesome to behold. And we need to introduce people to this Jesus and let them understand what he, as he came and died on a cross and was buried and resurrected, that he did this for them. And we need to be very pointed that people understand that this was done for them individually. He wasn't done for the Baptist church. He didn't do all of this for the Methodist church. He didn't do it for the Presbyterian church. He didn't do it for the Catholic church. He didn't do it for the Muslim or anybody else. He did it for that person who was separated from God. And he made a way back to God the Father through his shed blood on Calvary. And we need to help people come to recognize this Jesus, just like the wise men were able to recognize him. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "Where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Every time I read that, it just blows my mind that these wise men, you know, off somewhere in a distant place, and they thought that they had a revelation of a star, but the truth is God spoke into their hearts by the Spirit of God that his son was born. And so here they come. They don't know where they're going. They don't know how long it's going to take to get there, but they're coming. And they kept coming until they finally arrived and were able to feast their eyes on the Son of God. Amen? That's determination. And I see that's something that the church needs to revive once again. And that's determination in our hearts. We are determined to see Jesus Christ lifted up. We are determined to see him glorified. We are determined to see him come into the hearts of people all over this city, all over Maverick County, and even into the distant places that God allows us to go. We need that determination in our heart. We need that spirit that's going to push forward in this year of 2013. They were looking for a king. And the angels already knew him. And they knew him as the King of Kings. And a king is worthy. Even a fleshly king is worthy of glory and honor. But this King of Kings was worthy of even greater glory and honor. So the wise men came to worship him, and they came to bring gifts to him. And I really like that part of this too. They came to bring gifts to him. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God gave a way of redemption. God gave a plan of salvation. God gave a bridge where man could cross over through Jesus Christ and come into the very presence of God. God gave. But what do we give? What do we give? What does Scripture teach us to give? Eternal life. It even give our heart. Give our spirits, our souls. But he also tells us to give our tithes and our offerings. And you see, we're robbing ourselves when we're not giving in the manner, the realm that God has called us to give. And we need to consider that this new year. Are we giving according to the way of God? Or are we just robbing ourselves because we're literally robbing God by not giving the way that he's called us to give? Just think what the wise men had got up there and said, "Oh, this is just a baby. We'll keep our gifts." No way. When they saw the majesty and the glory of Christ the Savior, there was no way that they could have held back their giving. And we need to come to that position and that place in our own lives where when we see his glory, when we see his majesty and his power, that there is no way that we could withhold our giving. Do you understand that? It's a way, it becomes a way of life for you and I as a Christian. So he's worthy of honor. He's worthy of glory. And there are responses to someone who is royal, one who reigns in a kingdom, one who's in authority, and his power is without question. There's ways to respond to these kinds of people. And the way that they learned, and the wise men learned, was the first thing they did was to fall on their knees. Fall on their knees. How many of y'all ever watched movies, you know, about the royalty in the past? You didn't just come, you know, bouncing in to where the king or the queen was, did you? No. If you did, you'd have your head cut off. Because there was protocol. Anytime you entered the presence where the king and or the queen was, and you did it their way, you obeyed these rules and these regulations that had been established. But does God need rules and regulations for us when we come into the presence of God? No, you see, this ought to be a heart thing. That we love Him so much, and when His presence comes, that we begin to show Him how much we honor Him, how much we glorify Him by just getting on our knees before Him. Have you ever done that? I tell you what, it's an humbling experience. But it's also a very rewarding experience. How about praying, kneeling when you pray? Does it feel different when you kneel than when you just sit in a chair or lay in bed or standing or driving down the road? Sure it does. Because you experience a greater intimacy with the Lord when you have humbled yourself before Him. When you have come down to your knees and lowered yourself before Him. Amen? So fall on your knees. This is the posture of humility. The posture of humility. And so these wise men, they knew who they were looking for, and they treated Jesus the way that He was intended to be treated. They treated Him royally. They treated Him honorably. They worship Him. They brought gifts to Him. And they demonstrated their joy before Him in their worship and their praise. Do you understand what I'm talking about? We can learn from the wise men. And this is in that gray area. Do you know what I'm talking about? The gray area between the Old Testament and the New Testament. Jesus comes, but He hasn't died yet. He hadn't been hung on a cross. He hadn't died for your sin yet. But there's something that goes on in the hearts of mankind when Jesus is present. And that's exactly what's happening here with the wise men. They hadn't come unto a salvation in Christ Jesus yet, but there was something in them that knew Him. They knew exactly who He was, and they treated Him like they knew Him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that He was. Now, since the death, burial, and resurrection, there has been very little glory and honor that has been offered up to Jesus. And why? Why has this happened? What happened? I mean, Jesus started off with a bang when it comes to glory and honor. But through the days and the years and the centuries that have followed, something has happened. And it's because people do not know how to respond to His presence. We've never allowed ourselves to learn how to respond to God. Have you ever asked the Holy Spirit, how do I respond to the presence of God? You know, we don't ask the Holy Spirit anything hardly anymore because we think we know it all. Well, let me tell you something, we don't know anything. And the older I get, the more I realize the less that I know. That which I thought I knew, I don't know anymore because it wasn't what I thought it was. Okay? But I am learning. God's teaching me some things. And it's things far greater than I ever thought possible. And so these are the things that God wants to do in our lives. So let's ask the question, how do I give glory to someone? How do I glorify someone? Well, first of all, they have to be worthy to receive glory. They have to be worthy to receive glory. Is Jesus worthy to receive glory? Is God the Father worthy to receive glory? What about the Spirit of God? Yes, yes, yes. Amen. Glory, in this sense, is defined as exalted praise or distinction bestowed by common consent. Let me do that definition again of glory. It's exalted praise or distinction bestowed by common consent. When we give glory to someone who is worthy, we exalt them in our praises, our admiration, and even declaring that all the glory belongs to them. Does all of the glory belong to God? Yes. Does all of the glory belong to Jesus? Yes. Does the glory belong to the Spirit of God? Yes. Glory is bestowed by praise. We give Him glory when we praise Him. Amen? So, honor is different than glory. Honor has to be earned. Honor has to be earned. And honor is manifested respect according to one's worth. Honor is manifested respect according to a person's worth. And Jesus is worthy of honor. He is worthy of honor. There's no question as to His faithfulness to the Father, as well as to each one of us. He has been faithful to us from day one. When He was born in a manger, there was a plan and a purpose in His heart. And He fulfilled every step of that until He hung on a cross and was raised from the dead. Jesus was faithful. And so we honor Him because He earned it. He earned the honor that is due His name. And Jesus was worthy of honor from the day He was born till the day that He was raised from the dead. Honor was due Him because He was the Son of God. Jesus, the Son of God. Fully man and fully from the presence of God. And that's hard for us to understand. But Jesus came in that manner so we could understand our humanity. So that we could understand that, yes, we can be what God wants us to be. Because Jesus lived that life to demonstrate to us. And now we have Jesus living in our hearts. Now, Jesus once made a statement about Himself. He was ministering in Nazareth. And let's look at it in Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13, verse 57. And the people were offended with Jesus, but Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. The people were offended with Jesus. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his own country and in his own house. River of Life Church is the house of Jesus. Do you understand that? Do you believe that? We are the body of Christ. We may be just the River of Life Church at 1110 Ideson Road version of the body of Christ, but we are a part of the body of Christ. So therefore, this church, this sanctuary right here, right now, contains the body of Christ. Now, this is a place of His dwelling. If He is if we are the body and He is the head, He dwells where the body is. Is that right? In fact, He goes one step further. He dwells within our heart. He lives within, inside of each one of us as born-again children of God. Therefore, He is worthy. He is worthy of all honor in this house. And you know, it's time that we start giving him the honor that's due him in this house. Our responsibility as the body of Christ is to bring honor to him and declare glory unto his name as the church of Jesus Christ. That's our responsibility. Now, we come to church, maybe. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. Sometimes we just don't feel like coming to church. Even when we come to church, we don't feel like giving honor and glory to Jesus. And is that right? No. We ought to do everything that is humanly possible and ask God by the Spirit of God to help us overcome whatever hindrance it is that it is not allowing us to praise and honor Jesus. We need to overcome it. We overcome it by the blood of the Lamb. And so we need to come to this place where we are anxious to come to the house of God, where we are anxious to come into his presence with the body of Jesus Christ, where we are anxious to come with a great anticipation out of our hearts that we're going to be in his presence and we're going to be able to bring honor and glory to him. That should be our attitude about coming to church. Instead, well, let's see what I got on my agenda today. Well, sorry, Jesus, you're not on my list, so I won't go to church today. Or I like this, you get up in the morning and you just feel, oh, I feel awful. I think I'll just roll back over and go back to bed. You know, they're not going to miss me at church one Sunday. Is that bringing honor and glory to Jesus? No. You just rolled over with the devil because he won. You didn't put up a struggle. You didn't do anything. You just turned up your feet and said, okay, I give up. And you went right back to bed with him. You see, it's time we rise up. It's time that we stand up and declare who we really are and begin to do what God has called us to do. And one of the things that God has called us to do is to not forsake our assembling ourselves together as the body of Christ. We are called to go to church. I don't care whether that's in your agenda of religion or not, but we are called by the Word of God to come to church as the body of Christ and to minister to one another. And we're to minister before the Lord Jesus Christ himself, because he's the head of this body. So don't you think in this new year we might just make a commitment to start doing that? Instead of not coming or you know, just don't care anymore. We're going to be talking about revival starting next Sunday. I tell you what, the church needs revival. And revival, where Jesus is revival. Jesus is the head of this body. Revival is here, but we have to embrace revival. Everything that comes from God, you have to embrace it. You have to receive it. You have to walk in it. You have to demonstrate it through your life. And the church is not doing that, including this church. And so it's time that we begin to demonstrate what God is pouring out right now. We need to lay hold of it, pull it into our spirits, and begin to move in the revival that God the Father is giving. And you see, we're to treat the presence of God with the utmost respect. With the utmost respect. He not only abides in this house, but he lives in the heart of each one of you. What's your heart saying when we're in his presence? You're looking at your watch. And, golly, we got 45 more minutes to go before he shuts up. Now, admit it. I mean, sometimes we think those thoughts. I don't know why I came today. You know? The reason we declare things like that is because we've come for the wrong purpose. We've come to fulfill some fleshly obligation that is written in the rule books by religious leaders in the past that means absolutely nothing. We're supposed to be talking relationship here with a living God. Not just following the rule book of some religious people that want us to do what they tell us to do. If you're going to do anything that needs to be done, you do what God says to do. And you'll be highly exalted in this church, I'll tell you that right now. Because you will be obedient to the Father. Amen? Listen, the glory of God is here. I keep talking about the glory, but the glory is here. The glory is just like revival. It's all around us. It's everywhere. And we've seen the glory. I mean, glory is manifested through our ministry times. And we've literally experienced His glory. But we have His glory. We can declare His glory. But we need to walk in His glory. It's like something that you come into church and you pick up and you look at it like a new article of clothing. And, well, I don't know if I like the color of this, you know, and you hang it back up. That's not the way you receive the glory of God. Again, like revival, you embrace it. You declare it in your spirit. You declare it in the heart. You know, I am going to declare His glory because His glory is going to change not only this church and this city, but His glory is going to change nations through this church. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among the peoples. That's our mandate as a church. And we're not even anywhere close to it yet. And notice I say yet because I believe we're going to get there. I really believe we're going to get there. But we're going to have to pull together to do it. We have His glory. We can declare it. But in order to maintain His glory, we're going to have to learn how to honor Jesus. How to honor Him. You see, glory and honor go hand in hand. Hand in hand. You see, we've learned about the glory. Now it's time to learn about honor. And what better time to learn about honor than right here at the time of the birth of Jesus, celebrating His birth. Let me tell you a story and then I'll close. There was a master who prepared a banquet. And Scripture says He invited many guests to come. And when everything was ready for the people, He sent His servants out to go out and declare the invitation to the people that the master had chosen to come to the banquet. And as the servant made contact with these that the master had called, he began to find the resistance that was in the hearts of the people. Oh, one had bought some property that he needed to inspect. Another one had bought some cattle that he needed to take out to his place and put them where they needed to be. And one even got married and he couldn't come. The poor fool, he needed to come. Amen. You can't start off a marriage without God. If you've tried it, you'll know that it's a hard row to hoe. But both of you need to be of one spirit, and that's the spirit of God, not the spirit of the world. I'm not going to go there, but, you know, that's just 75 cents worth of advice there, okay? But the servant went back to the master, and he tells the master, he says, look, he said, all those guests that you sent me out there to invite, they rejected your invitation. And the master got mad. Just like you would get mad if you had this big Christmas party and nobody shows up. Everything's prepared, but nobody wants to come to your party. And this master was worthy of honor because by his giving heart, he had invited guests, and these guests were dishonoring him by their rejection. They were dishonoring him. You know, this word dishonor, I'm even beginning to hear that terminology used out here on the streets. it's one of the two words actually that the gang people use. It's either disrespectful or dishonored. And they're killing people because they disrespected a gang leader's family or the gang itself, or they dishonored somebody in the gang or whatever. And these things are harsh when it comes to the punishment that they mete out to these people who do that. But you know, as I was thinking about that and reading the story, the same thing happens here. Same thing happens. So the master tells the servant, he says, go out into the streets and bring all of the poor, the blind, the crippled, all of those out there that you find that are sick, and bring them to the banquet. And so this servant, he obeys, he goes out there and he starts finding all these sick people, the crippled, the blind, and deaf, and all of these that could not do for themselves. And the master sends him out a second time. He comes back with a load. The master says, that's not enough. He says, go back out a second time. So he goes back out a second time and urges these people to come in so that the house might be filled. Oh, what a glorious thing, folks. Churches are not designed to have all of these empty seats in the sanctuary. This is not God's design. This is not God's desire. God wants these churches to be so packed that they're overflowing. Do you understand that? I mean, God wants to develop such a family that the family can't even fit into one room. And this doesn't mean that we go out and build a mega church either, but it means that we do whatever we need to do to have to minister unto these people. But we have to get people to come to the church to be able to minister to them and to be able to welcome them in to the body of Christ. So the master sends him out a second time. He says, now this time go out to the highways and the hedges and urge them to come in, that my house might be full. How many of you ever looked in your hedge and see if anybody's in there? You ever found anybody in your hedges? You might at night, I don't know. But I heard an interesting explanation of this. The devil hedges people. He gets them locked in. He hedges them in like in alcoholism or drug abuse or whatever. And we, as the body of Christ, we're supposed to go out here and find these people and set them free from the hedge that the enemy has built around them. You see, the enemy thinks that they're protected for his purpose, for his use, and so he's got them locked in. But we have the name of Jesus, we have the blood of Jesus Christ, and we can set these people free from the chains and the bondage of these hedges that the devil has built. And that's our responsibility as a church, is to go out and to set these people free. So the master of the house invited every form of rejected humanity. And the reason he did that, because the original people did not have time for his banquet. You think there's some judgment coming on this? You better believe it. The tables were set, the food was served, and yet no one invited wanted to come to sit down and eat. And this greatly upset the master. Greatly upset him. And you see, dishonoring the master has a price to pay. We're talking about the guy who invited you to eat at his banquet. You dishonor him, and you have a price to pay. But let me tell you, those that dishonor Jesus come with the same penalty. If we dishonor him by not coming to his house, if we dishonor him by not sitting at his table that he has put before us, has prepared for us, that we are bringing dishonor to him as our Lord, as our Savior. You see, there's a table in this room right now. It's already set. I mean, everything's in place. And the invitation has gone forth. The question is, how do we respond individually? Are we going to come to the Master's table and sit and eat with the Master the things that He's prepared? Or are we going to enter into this new year rejecting the things that Jesus offers? Rejecting the things of the kingdom of God because we don't want it, or we're too afraid to step out with it. You see, we shouldn't fear anything in the kingdom of God. Because the things that God brings forth, they're supernatural. They're supernatural. And God wants to work the supernatural through each one of us as born-again children of God. He wants us to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. He wants us to be able to cast out demons and not let them, you know, destroy lives. Everything about the kingdom of God, God wants to work through each one of us individually. And the only way that will ever happen is if we begin to bring glory and honor to the King of Kings. As we become obedient to Him. Did you know that you can honor the King by obeying what He says? I think that's the kind of honor Jesus is looking for. Obeying Him because you love Him and you want to do everything that He's called you to do. And see, when we honor Jesus and give glory to Him, God always shows up. And when God shows up, awesome things begin to happen. Amen. Awesome things begin to happen. And as I said just a minute ago, things like we've never even seen or heard of. It's going to be amazing, the thing that God wants to work through us, if we'll ever wake up to the fact that He wants us. He wants to be able to use every one of us. You are not to isolate yourself from the body of Christ and still claim to be a part of the body of Christ. You don't find that in Scripture anywhere. But we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. And everything that the body is designed to do, we are capable by the Spirit of God to do it. Amen? So that's another thing to take with you into the new year. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, we try to put that in application, which it will. Application like to our work or you know, the things of the world or the things of the flesh. But what God is really, I think, was really saying in that statement was, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Jesus is the one that said, even greater things are you going to do because I'm leaving and I'm going to the Father. And He's saying, you're going to do great things because I live in you. When I leave here, I'm going to be living in you because I will dwell in you as your Savior and your Lord and the King of Kings in your heart. And so we need to grab hold of that into this new year and begin to declare that I can do all things in Christ. I can do all things in Christ. I am going to see some awesome things happen in my life that is going to impact the body of Christ at River of Life Church this year. I am. And I'm not going to wait for the pastor to teach me how to do it. Listen, we've got people sitting in churches that are 80, 90 years old. They're still waiting for Jesus to come and teach them. They're still waiting for the pastor to hold another evangelism class, number 936. Because they think if they can do 936 classes, then they might be able to. Now, these are cop-outs. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. And you are going to bring honor and glory to the King of Kings. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we praise you and we thank you, Father. And Lord, that you have made us more than able, Father, to be everything that you've called us to be. And Father, I just declare over these people, each one of them individually, Lord, that whatever has been holding them in bondage, whatever the reason, Father, I just ask that they be set free this morning in Jesus' name. Father, I bind every spirit that lies to them. I break the power of those spirits off of their mind in Jesus' name. And Father, I just loose them to begin to function in the body of Christ like you've called them to function. And Father, every person in this room, Lord, who have received a sense of guilt this morning about not being in a position to honor you and glorify you, Father, I thank you for your forgiveness and that you will cleanse them and release them, Father, from all guilt. For, Father, guilt is a tool that the enemy uses to destroy us. So, Father, I thank you for setting each person free to do the will of you, O Lord, in this coming year. Father, that we see great things happen in this church because of who you are in us, Lord, who you are in this church. And, Father, we give you the glory, the honor, the praise that's due your name. In Jesus' name, amen.